Hello and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. My name's Doug Arnold and I'm a member of the Hospitality Ministries team. It's a joy to have you worship with us today, and we do invite you to fully participate. You'll find links to worship materials in the description section of our live feed, and as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship today, we also invite you to light a candle as a sign of Christ's presence with you. May God be with you as we enter this holy time together.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a good day to be together for this time of worship, and I want to welcome all of you to worship at West End United Methodist Church. From wherever you are today, we're so glad to be united in the Spirit as we worship together. We would invite you and encourage you to register your attendance with us online this morning. If you're worshiping by live stream, you'll have to cut and paste the link and put it into your browser in order to fill out that form. But that will give us an opportunity to know who's worshiping alongside of us this morning. And there are ways that you can share prayer concerns during the worship time, that you can give and share your offerings, that you can pass the peace to one another. And we hope that you will participate fully in this time of worship together. We are still planning to have our Vesper service this afternoon. We had wonderful plans 2 weeks ago to gather outdoors, and it rained, so we postponed it until this Sunday, and once again, we're looking at rain. Even if the rain stops by 3 o'clock, we feel like the lawn will be a little too soggy, so we are moving those services indoors for this evening. We'll have the 5 o'clock service and the 6:30 service, just as planned, but we'll be moving into the sanctuary and be safely distanced and wearing our masks, and we look forward to seeing those of you who have registered for those services. We are very excited about next Sunday, September 20th. At the 8:45 service, Dr. Emily Towns, who is the Dean of Vanderbilt Divinity School, will be joining us as our preacher in that service. And we hope that all of you will tune in and hear the good and powerful word that she will bring to us next Sunday about hope. And then at 11 o'clock, we will have our very first in-person worship service since March. And we are looking forward to seeing those of you who can be here. We do ask that you RSVP. We're going to keep our numbers at 50 households and so that we can be safely spaced in the sanctuary. So we do need your RSVP, but we are very much looking forward to welcoming those of you who can be here at 11 o'clock next Sunday. And we'll continue those RSVPs and continue that 11 o'clock service as an in-person worship service. We are excited about the opportunity to help build a Habitat house this fall. Habitat's done a lot of work to make sure that these builds will be safe for those who can participate. And we need volunteers for September 26th and October 10th. And there are opportunities to sign up, probably already showing up in the comment section on the live stream and also on our website and in our Friday emails. Finally, tomorrow night, we have the opportunity to have conversation with our friends and neighbors in Guatemala through the ODEEM ministry. We weren't able to send a mission team this spring to ODEEM in Guatemala, but we're anxious to hear from them and how they're faring in the pandemic. And so if you'd like to participate in that call, it's tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock, and you can email Reverend Stacy Harwell Dye, and she'll send you the link. So many ways that we are connected in the Spirit with friends across the world, and we are connected in this moment now as we continue our worship together.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice.
Thank you. hope for answers that only God can provide.
Give us wisdom, Lord.
We seek to be faithful.
Give us direction, Lord.
We look for God's light and we seek God's guidance.
Show us the way, Lord.
We are searching for how to be and how to act. Though God's light guides us, we often stray from the path that Jesus taught us. Let us offer our confessions in the sure knowledge that God hears our prayers and stands ready to guide us back to the way that we should go. God of grace, we confess that we do not always recognize our prejudices. We hurt others through our words and deeds, and we fail to acknowledge their pain. We insist that all are welcome, but we surround ourselves with those who are most like us. We resist sharing your love beyond the walls of our comfortable and familiar spaces. Oh God, we ask for your forgiveness. Help us also to forgive those who trespass against us. Grant us your insight, grace, and courage so that we may forgive others as you forgive us. Transform these words into living daily prayer and action. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. And now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and of love. May the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Peace be with you from the God of peace.
The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
The peace of Christ be with you.
Peace of Christ.
Prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you have to say to us today. Amen. Lesson from the Gospel, Matthew 18, 21 through 35. Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle his accounts with his slaves. When he began reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him, and as he could not pay, his lord ordered him to be sold together with his wife and children and all of his possessions, and the payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the lord of that slave forgave him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, "Pay what you owe." Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he should pay his debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. His lord summoned him and said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all the debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he should pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from or sister from heart. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
And now it's time for me to have a little special moment with those children who are out there. I would invite you to move a little bit closer to your screens and come and join me right here. I can imagine all of you sitting out there, and I'm so glad that you're there and that we're together this morning. I would imagine that there are a couple of phrases that your parents have taught you how to use. Thank you and please. When we want to ask for something, we need to say please. Please, may I have a cookie? Please, may I take a nap? I imagine you might not ask if you can take a nap. But it's also important to say thank you. Thank you so much for this birthday present. Thank you for coming over to my house. Those are really important things that we need to learn to say to each other. This morning, I want to tell you two other things that I think are important for all of us to learn to say. One is, I'm sorry. And the other is, I forgive you. Now, you may remember that I have a brother and two sisters, and I'm the youngest. And so when I was growing up, every now and then, I got in a fight with my brother or my sisters. I'm sure that never happens in your household. But every now and then, we would get into arguments and fights. And maybe one of our parents would come in and say, "Okay, now, Carol, you need to say you're sorry." And I would say, "I'm sorry." But I didn't really mean it. I would just say I was sorry because my mom was telling me to and I wanted to get out of the room. Have you ever done that before? Just sort of said, "I'm sorry," but you didn't really mean it? One of the things that I think helps us to say I'm sorry is to think about what the other person might be feeling. For example, my sister and I used to go to the grocery store with our mom. And we would each get a candy bar, and I would eat mine right away. But my sister always waited to eat hers. She wanted to save it. And there was one time that I saw it there sitting on the kitchen counter, and I told myself, she shouldn't wait. She's just doing that to taunt me, so I'm going to eat it. And then when the time came, and my mom said, "You need to say you're sorry," I said, "I'm sorry." But if I had thought about it, and how much my sister was looking forward to her candy bar, and why she might have saved it just because she wasn't hungry at the time, then I would realize what I had taken from her, and I would have meant it when I said, "I'm sorry." Jesus says in today's scripture reading, we need to be able to forgive each other from our heart. And it's not just saying, "I'm sorry," or "I forgive you." It's really meaning it. And sometimes to really mean it, we have to think about what it's like to be the other person. Let's pray together. Dear God, you want us to love each other, to forgive each other from our hearts, to be able to say, "I'm sorry," from our hearts and really, really mean it. Help us to put ourselves in the other person's shoes, to think about how our actions might affect somebody else, and to work really hard to be able to say, "I'm sorry and I forgive you," from our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When we come to this parable today, I'm wondering if the servant who's at the center of this parable ever had parents who taught him to say please or thank you, I'm sorry, and I forgive you. The main character of this parable that Jesus talks about in the 18th chapter of Matthew is sometimes called the unforgiving servant. Well, I have a few other adjectives I'd like to add to that. Unforgiving, yes. Selfish, narcissistic, petty, greedy, abusive. I mean, we look at his behavior in this parable, and it's just despicable. Even a quick skim of the parable shows us that. He gets forgiven for a debt that he owes to someone. And in the very same situation, when someone owes him something, he refuses to forgive the debt. But it's even worse when we dig deeper into the details of the parable. If we slow down a little bit and we explore what's happening in the story, it's even worse. So what I'd like to do is divide this parable up into a few different scenes. And I want to focus on scene one and scene two with you. In scene one, there is a man who is brought before his king. He's a servant of the king. And he owes the king 10,000 talents. Now, how much is that exactly? Well, in our Tuesday morning Bible study, Bill Ferris came prepared to answer that question. He had done his research ahead of time, and he'd run the numbers, and you can trust Bill Ferris's numbers because he's a retired banker. And he said 10,000 talents is equal in our day to over $3 billion. To further put it in perspective, the great King Herod the Great, who ruled over Galilee and Judea and much of that region when Jesus was born, received taxes every year from all of the lands that he ruled over. And 1 year's worth of revenue for Herod the Great was 900 talents. And here we're talking about 10,000 talents. So this is like multinational level of debt. In other words, what Jesus is saying, it is a debt that this man could never pay. It is immeasurable. And yet, when the king calls him for this time of reckoning and asks him to pay, the man falls on his knees and says, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." And in that moment, they both likely know he'll never repay it. But instead of punishing the man, the king shows him mercy. In this radical act of unfathomable grace and forgiveness, the king says to the servant, "Don't worry about it. The debt is forgiven." You would think that that kind of radical forgiveness would change this man's life. Well, let's go into scene two and see what happens. In scene two, we find this man walking along, and a fellow servant, a colleague, a peer, comes to him. This second servant owes the first servant 100 denarii. Now, that's no small change. That's equal to a few thousand dollars, 100 days' worth of wages. And when the first servant says, "Pay me what you owe," the second servant does exactly what the first one had done. He falls on his knees and he says the exact same words that the first servant had said to the king. "Have patience with me and I will pay you." And now comes the moment of truth. Will the first servant have been so transformed by the mercy and grace and forgiveness he had received that he goes and shows mercy and forgiveness and grace to his fellow servant? It reminds me of a moment in a Wednesday night class last year. I took a class with Sally Honor, and it was all focused on love and practices of love. And she introduced us to this practice that she had learned from a teacher by the name of Arjuna Ardal. And she said, when you find yourself feeling judgmental toward another person or irritated at another person or angry with another person, go ahead and express what it is about them that you're angry about and then add the phrase, just like me. So you're driving through traffic and there's some guy who's cutting in and out and he's in a hurry and being impatient and he's being a real jerk and you want to say, he is so self-centered, he just feels like his agenda is more important than anybody else. He's in such a hurry, he doesn't care how he treats other people. Just like me. Have I not done the same thing? Or we get angry at that person who's so opinionated that they can't even listen to another opinion. They're so convinced that they're right, they won't even consider the possibility that they might be wrong. Just like me. And so here we have these two men in this parable. And there's an opportunity for the first servant to say, this man is just like me. And to say to himself, I have just received tremendous grace from the king. Maybe I should show the same grace to the other. But he doesn't. When the second servant throws himself at his feet, not only does he not forgive him, he takes him by the throat with anger and perhaps the shame underneath it and throttles him and throws him into prison. And I want to say, I don't know what to say. I am stunned by this man's despicable, unforgiving behavior. And he's just like me. Here I have, all of us have, received the unconditional love of God. That grace upon grace upon grace that is poured out upon us and poured into us without our deserving it, without our asking for it. A debt that we could never repay has been forgiven. And yet in my day-to-day living, in my interactions with other people, I hold on to those hurts, to those aggressions, to my anger and resentment at those who have harmed me or harmed people I love. I spend most of my life just living in scene two and looking at interactions with other people as these transactions, keeping track of who owes me a debt because of the harm they have done. And I have to confess the very real truth that forgiveness is hard. It is countercultural. It goes against my very nature. Because when someone has hurt me, I want to see that they know they've hurt me. I want them to pay me back for it, to do something that restores the wrong. And if that doesn't happen, I'm just going to hold on to it. And yet, again and again and again, Jesus comes back to this teaching of forgiveness. The act of forgiveness is at the very heart of the gospel. That willingness to let go of what other people owe us, even if they are wrong. How do we forgive? How do we move toward forgiveness when sometimes it just doesn't seem fair or right, and when the other person may never be held accountable? I don't want to underestimate how hard it really is. And I also want to acknowledge that over the course of my years in ministry, I have heard so many stories of pain and abuse and bullying and harm that has been done to people. And the last thing I want to do as a pastor is to lay on this other heavy burden that, well, now you should forgive that person. as one who worships a God of mercy and grace, I don't think it's right to lay that burden on someone who is in pain. And yet I do believe that forgiveness is at the heart of following Jesus. So how do we move toward forgiveness? How do we walk into this practice? Well, I know that it helps me to think about forgiveness as a journey. There are some people who can experience a harm and very quickly offer forgiveness. But it's not that easy for me or for many of us. But to think about it as a journey that I'm on with God. And there are people in my own life I am working to forgive. Some of them have already passed away. Some of them don't even know that I'm working to forgive them and will never know. It's work that I'm doing with God. Some of them, though, are those with whom I am seeking reconciliation, and I hope that my ability to forgive will lead to a deeper, more loving relationship. We've all heard the phrase, forgive and forget. And I think that's important. It has meaning that when we forgive someone, we don't want to continue to bring it back up in that relationship. There is a letting go that happens. But I want to offer a different turn of phrase this morning that to me comes right out of this parable. Don't forget and forgive. Don't forget calls us back up into scene one of this parable. Don't forget how much we have been forgiven. How much mercy and love and acceptance and grace God has given us and continues to give us. And if we can, on a daily basis, try and dwell in that place of grace that is for us, perhaps over time our hearts can be shaped so that we might move toward forgiveness of others. Don't forget how much God loves you and forgives you. Stay grounded in that grace and allow it to set you free. Free to forgive and set others free. May we continue this journey together. That's what church is all about. A place to practice. A place to be reminded of that unconditional love and to practice that love and forgiveness of others. Thanks be to God. Amen.
As a people who have experienced the mercy of God, it is our privilege to join our voices together each week and affirm our faith together.
So I would ask you to rise in body or spirit and join me in our affirmation of faith. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we come to our time of prayer, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you would like to share your prayers with the pastoral team this morning for us to pray for throughout the week, you may follow the link under Contact Us on our website. That link is probably also appearing in the chat right now on our live streams. You may also put prayer concerns in the chat stream. Just remember that that is a public forum. This morning, we offer our sympathy and prayers to Jane Tye and her family in the death of her father, William Harry Moore, who passed away on September 8th. Services were held Saturday, September 12th in Jackson, Tennessee. Prepare us now, loving God, for a time of prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of goodness and mercy, our lives are shaped by your everlasting grace. No matter how we may fall short of your purposes for us, your love for us never fails. We give thanks for your patient presence in our lives and pray that you would empower us to live graciously among all whom we encounter. Mold us into people of forgiveness. Jesus Christ, Savior of the world, your divine graciousness holds us all. As we lift our prayers and petitions to you, we trust that the same divine love that makes true forgiveness possible is also an agent of healing and restoration. We pray today for our planet. As wildfires rage in the western United States and powerful tropical storms continue to come from the southeast, we pray for those persons caught in the ravages of natural disasters. Forgive us for the ways we mistreat and take for granted this creation that is our home. Help us be people who show mercy to this earth by the ways in which we live. Come, Holy Spirit, and make yourself known to all persons who need you this day. We pray most especially for all who continue to be affected by the ongoing pandemic and the attending consequences. We pray for the many lives lost and the friends and family who mourn their passing. We pray for those who are sick and those who are caring for loved ones who are ill. We pray for those who are recovering from illness. We pray for all who have lost work or face continued financial struggle. We pray deeply for those who struggle with depression, anxiety, addiction, relapse, and other mental stresses at this time. And we pray for community leaders and workers who continue to face difficult decisions about how to continue our lives at this time. In times that feel so full of needs that it is difficult to name them all, we offer our personal petitions to you in a time of silent prayer. We are indeed covered by God's unending grace. And together we pray as Jesus taught us by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We invite you now to give your tithes and offerings so that our congregation can continue our vital ministries in our community and throughout the world. You can give through our website or text to give. You can also mail in a check. We realize that many are suffering economically right now, but we encourage you to give as you are able. We know that God can multiply those gifts for God's glory and for the benefit of God's kingdom. So let us give with joy this morning.
this time together. We have been reminded of God's great love, grace, and forgiveness for each and every one of us. Let us receive that grace. Let it shape our hearts and our lives, that we may go to spread God's peace to others and to the whole world. Amen.